Good morning, Eastwind. Good to see you. Glad to have you here. Something to think about, okay? The privilege of prayer, has been given to no one except to the church. I hope the government prays. Lord knows the government needs prayer right now. But nowhere in Scripture do we see that prayer is given to the government. And I hope that education prays. I wish we still had prayer in public school, but nowhere are we told for prayer to be for education. And I hope that the military prays, and as long as there's combat, I think there'll be people praying, but there's no passage in the Bible that says it's the assignment of the military to pray. But there is an abundance of scriptures that says it's the church's job to pray. For example, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, writes these words, Philippians 4:6, that says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Which is what we did last Sunday, right? There are 192 requests that you presented to God in the prayer wall over here. You wrote them out. You presented them to God by placing them, by inserting them in this prayer wall. And what I want to do right now is I want to go over here, and I just want to pick out some of them, and we're just as a group going to pray for them. So while I pick them out, you watch this video about prayer.
Revival rising, I see hope on the horizon as a generation stepping out of faith. Because we will be a people on our knees as one before the King, because we believe. Hey! All the world's not changing when the church starts praying.
I have five prayer requests that you've written. Let me read them, and I'm going to give you about 10 to 15 seconds to pray for each one of these. Here's what one of you wrote. Father, help our church let you lead. Keep us from doing things our way instead of yours. You are God. This is your church. Help us to follow you. Pray right now for 10 seconds that we will always follow God. Go ahead. Here's the second one. Father, thank you for this awesome church family. Thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for your presence. Lord, I just ask that we would become more united during this time. I pray that you would lead us. Keep our eyes on you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you just pray that as a church for 10 seconds that we will always keep our eyes on God. Go ahead. The third one is actually more of a personal request. It's written by your daughter in Christ. It says, I pray that I become the daughter of Christ you wish me to be. I pray that I make a difference in the world for the better, and I hope you open my mind, my body, my soul, and my heart to you, your daughter in Christ. Why don't we just pray that all of us open our hearts, whether you're a daughter or son in Christ, right now. Just pray that your heart can be open. 10 seconds. This one says, I like this one, help Jeff to stay strong. I appreciate that. Please pray that prayer and for the congregation to grow, okay? Go ahead and pray that. 10 seconds. This one says, Dear Heavenly Father, we seek your will for our lives and our church body. Please make your will known to us so that we will land wherever you want us. Infuse us with your wisdom. We love you and want and want your will for us in all we do. Okay? I pray that God will reveal his will to us right now, and then I'll close this time of prayer. Father God, we realize this all starts with you. And we're asking, Father, for your supernatural help in our lives and in the lives of this church. Thank you, Father, for everything you're doing behind the scenes that we don't even know about. But, Father, we trust you, and we just want you to know that we're ready to follow you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job with your prayer request. If you didn't get a chance to write one, just come down, write it, and insert it here. Present that request to God. Right now, if you would, grab the Connect boards, please sign in, if you would, right now. And if you are a first-time guest, I don't like to wait. Do you? We're busy people. We have busy schedules, things to do. We're in a hurry. We weave through traffic to find the faster lane. We frown at the people who have 12 items in the 10 items or less checkout line. We tap our foot waiting on that microwave to spend 45 seconds heating our food. Delay is a dirty word in our day. We don't like to wait on the doctor. We don't like to wait on the pizza. We don't like to wait in traffic. And we don't like to wait on God. But if you think about it, if you look around this planet, it really is kind of God's waiting room. Over here, there's a young couple. They're waiting to get pregnant. Over here is a man with a briefcase full of resumes waiting to find a job. Or here's an elderly woman with a cane. She's a widow, and she's been waiting for a year just for one tearless day. We wait on God to help. We wait on God to heal. We wait on God to help us sell this building and show us where he wants us to go. See, as a church right now, we're kind of living in a land between a prayer offered and a prayer answered. And so we find ourselves waiting right now. So what do you do? What do you do while you wait? Well, I think we would be very wise to do what this guy in the Old Testament named Joseph did. His story is a great story that I think God preserved in the Bible just to help you whenever you have to wait. See, Joseph, he knew all about waiting. He knew the furniture in God's waiting room really, really well. Joseph lived about 3,600 years ago, and I think we miss just how long Joseph had to wait. Because if you would go home this afternoon and sit down and read in Genesis his story, it would take you maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and it seems like all of it happened in a very short time. It didn't, okay? For example, chapter 37 of Genesis, Joseph's older brothers throw him in a cistern and just leave him there, down in this well for hours. He's just sitting in this well waiting, okay? And then it says in chapter 37, verse 28, it says, "So when the Midianite merchants came, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern, sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt." Now, it takes us 3 seconds to read, "who took him to Egypt." But do you know how long that took? It's 450 miles from where Joseph was in Israel to Egypt, and he had to walk it. So, month, couple months, you talk about waiting, he's just walking as he's been sold into slavery. And then when he gets there, he is immediately put on the auction block in Egypt, but we don't know if it took him weeks or months before somebody finally purchased him. And then somebody finally did purchase him. It was Potiphar, who is this captain in the army of Pharaoh, and he makes Joseph a slave for 10 years, a decade of your life. Think back 10 years ago, okay, to 2007. That's how long Joseph's been sweeping the floors and working in the fields and planting the crops as a slave, okay? Every day had to be slow, but it got even slower when he gets thrown into prison. Remember what happened for him to end up in prison? The wife of his boss makes a move on him. And so when he ran out, she screamed out and said that he tried to rape her. The next thing he knows, he's thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. Now, while in prison, he makes the best of it he can. He becomes friends with some of the other inmates, friends with the wardens. He actually interprets some dreams for them. But in Genesis 41, it says, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. 2 full years, he's in prison. That's 24 months of waiting in prison. That's 730 days of praying. That's 2,190 meals that he ate by himself. That's 17,000 hours listening for God, waiting for God, asking God to act. Joseph is in God's waiting room, waiting for rescue, waiting for justice, waiting for God. 2 years in God's waiting room is plenty of time to grow bitter, to grow cynical, to grow agnostic. Other people have done that in much shorter times, but not Joseph. While he's in prison, Pharaoh starts having these dreams, these very troubling dreams, okay? So he calls together all of his counselors and asks them to interpret his dreams, and they can't do it. And so his butler, who just so happened to be in prison and was a friend of Joseph, and he's now the personal butler of the most powerful man on earth, Pharaoh, the butler says, hey, there was this Hebrew boy back in prison, and he could interpret dreams. And Pharaoh said, get him. And so as fast as you can say, get out of jail, Joseph was. They clean him up. They bring him in the presence of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asks him if he can interpret dreams. And I love how Joseph answers his question. This is Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. Pharaoh says, can you interpret dreams? And Joseph says, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. But, he says, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Do you see what happened there? Joseph didn't come out of prison angry at God or bitter at God. He came out of prison bragging about God. What about you? You may not be in prison right now, but you may be in limbo in life, or you may be in between jobs, or you may be in search of a spouse or in search of a house. Maybe you're in God's waiting room right now. If you are, I have a message for you, and it's this. You'll get through this. You'll get through this. It may not be quick. It may take some time, but you'll get through this. And maybe the church right now is in God's waiting room, and I have a message for us. We'll get through this. We'll get through it. It may take some time. May not happen as fast as we want. But see, sometimes, from God's perspective, time is a good thing. While we wait, God works. Time's good because while we wait, God works. Okay? We assume if we're not working that no one is working, but just the opposite of the truth. Jesus said this about his heavenly Father in John chapter 5, verse 17. He said, my Father is always at his work. You see that? Think about it. He's always at his work. He never grows weary. God finishes everything he begins. He rested on the seventh day, but the eighth day he went back to work. God is always active. That was true in the case of Joseph. We come to Joseph's life, the end of his life there, the story in chapter 40. He's in prison and we think, well, the hero's in prison. The train's off the track. This story's on hold. But just the opposite is happening. While Joseph is waiting, God is working, okay? He positions the same one person to be a good friend to Joseph in prison, who then becomes the personal butler of the most powerful man on the earth, Pharaoh. And then he infiltrates Pharaoh's sleep with these troubling dreams. And then he's gifted Joseph to interpret the dreams. You see, while Joseph was waiting, God was working. Likewise, while we wait right now as a church, we need to trust that God is working. The Hebrew word for wait is kavah, okay? And it means two things, and they're both helpful. First, it means to bind together, like if you were weaving hair together, or if you were weaving three pieces of a rope together to make a stronger rope. That's the first thing it means. The second thing it means is to look forward expectantly. And the word picture is you're on your tiptoes trying to look forward. You're anticipating. So you combine those two meanings. Kavah means that we wait, we can look forward expectantly because we know God is weaving everything together behind the scenes. To kavah, to wait, is to live in expectation of God's blessing. And that's what we need to do as a church family while we wait on relocation. We shouldn't be worried and anxious. We shouldn't be assuming the worst. But waiting in expectation, waiting in excitement of the blessings that God is working on right now. In Psalm 37, verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Think about a farmer, okay? Does he try to harvest his crop the day after he plants the seed? No, whoever said it over there, thanks. He doesn't, all right? He doesn't plant the seed and the next day start running up and down his fields going, grow seed, grow, grow seed. He knows if you plant the seed, you gotta wait. Okay? He knows the seed needs time to germinate and break through the soil and grow its leaves. The farmer waits while the seed works. Would you consider putting the same trust in God that the farmer puts in the seed? Would you consider putting the same trust in God that the farmer puts in the seed? Psalm 46:10 says, God says, be still. Just be still. Know that I'm God. See, we can be still because God is God. We can be patient because we know God is working. We can be glad because God is good. So during this time of relocation, let's just trust in God the way a farmer trusted in the seed. Let's wait in anticipation, in expectation of God's blessing. But also while we wait, God doesn't just work, God works for us. While we wait, God works for us. That's what Moses and the children of Israel discovered after they had been released from their 400 years in slavery in Egypt, okay? God said to them through Moses this from Exodus chapter 14. Here's what was happening, okay? They had left Egypt, and now Pharaoh and his army is coming charging after them to kill them. They've got the Red Sea in front of them. They got Pharaoh and his army behind them. Here's what God says to them through Moses, verse 13. He says, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Well, that's easier said than done. Here comes this crazy army to kill us. Here's the Red Sea in front of me. It's death either way. And God says, just be still and watch me fight for you. Wouldn't you find that hard to do? Stand still. The Lord will fight for you. But isn't that really the heart of what our Christian salvation is all about? You know, we are not saved by our works, by what we do. We are saved by trusting in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so we just stand still and accept what he has done. And here's what happened to the Israelites. God says, stand still, and they're all concerned, but they didn't know that right then already, God's working behind the scenes, and the breath of heaven was already, it's on its way to blow the Red Sea apart, dry the land, the people cross on the dry land, a great, great miracle. God was working while they were waiting. How about Mary, the mother of Jesus? When the angel shows up and says, you're going to be pregnant, and she says, no, no, I've never been with a man. And how can this be? And the angel said, just wait. And so while she's waiting, what happens? God is working. He sent an angel to explain everything to Joseph, her husband-to-be. He prompted Caesar to declare a census of the world, forcing everybody to go back to their town of origin, which meant that Joseph and Mary go back to Bethlehem, the predicted birthplace of the Messiah. Do you see? God is working while she is waiting. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Do you see what that says? It doesn't say, and we know that in some things. It doesn't say, and we know that God used to work. It doesn't say, and God may work. It says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That's God's character. That's who he is. He loves you too much not to work for you. Remember, he is the Heavenly Father who swept the room looking for the one lost coin. He is the Heavenly Father who looked through the bushes for the one lost sheep. He is the Heavenly Father that stood on the porch looking for the prodigal son to come home. He's busy, he's active, he's working, doing what is good, doing what is right at just the right time. Today, I want to invite you to believe. I want to invite you to believe and trust that everything is going to work out right in your life and in the life of this church. Now, it's going to be God's timetable, of course, but Genesis 41:1 said, then it came to pass at the end of two full years, after Joseph had wrongfully been thrown into prison, it came to pass. Meaning, with God, struggles don't stay. They pass. Just be patient, wait, and pray while God works for you. But I also want you to see, let's also wait while God works on us. Let's also wait while God works on us. It could be, it very well could be that the reason why God has you waiting about something right now is so that you will learn to put your trust in Him. Could it be that His waiting room is really a W-E-I-G-H-T room in which He's developing the muscle of patience? I thought that was really clever. Apparently you didn't, right? You didn't, but okay. Could it be that God lets us experience these times of waiting so that we will one day look back and say, hey, God was with me the whole time? When my two kids were small, okay? And they did what every child does whenever you go on a long trip in a car. They got impatient. And when we took all those 14-hour drives to Pennsylvania to visit Grandma, okay, there were not enough DVDs, not enough movies, not enough music, not enough books to keep a child, two kids, from leaning forward saying, are we there yet? How much further, you know? Now, if I would have said to my kids when they were like 6 and 4 years old, if I'd have said, well, according to the map, the distance from our house to Grandma's house is exactly 788 miles. And according to my calculations, if we drive the permitted speed of 70 miles per hour and calculate in 2 stops to eat and 4 stops for bathroom, I'm thinking we have exactly 7 hours and 46 minutes left. If I'd have said that to my 4-year-olds, okay, it'd been like, what? No, you just say to your kid, just trust me. We're going to get there as soon and as safe as possible. Just trust me. Listen, if God would give you a complete explanation about why you're having to wait on something in your life right now, if He were to tell you about all the things that He is weaving together in your life and in the life of the other 8 billion people on the planet right now, if He were to tell you about the billions of things that He is bringing together right now that's going to bring this world to a climactic end when Jesus returns, if He would explain everything about what's going on in the physical realm, spiritual realms, heavenly realms, if He would tell you all that, I think we just wouldn't be able to grasp it all. And so I think God is just saying to you today, hey, just trust me. I love you. Just trust me. And I think that's exactly what He's saying to this church family. Just trust me. So how do you do that? I mean, how do you do it? Well, I had a lot of experience waiting to play basketball when I was in high school. I tried out for the junior high team in 7th grade and got cut. So I waited a year, tried out in 8th grade, and got cut. So I waited a year, tried out in 9th grade, got cut. So I waited a year, tried out in 10th grade, and I was the last player chosen on a 15-player team, okay? And so the JV coach was nice, but he didn't recognize talent when he saw it. And I spent a lot of time sitting on the bench in practice and always on the bench in games. And after one particular game, I came home and I was all dejected because I didn't get in the game again. And my dad said to me, he said, Jeff, he said, I noticed that you always sit all the way down on the end of the bench as far away from the coach as possible. He said, I think you ought to get closer to the coach. I think you ought to sit right over by the coach. Because then in the middle of the game when he's frustrated with one of the players, he's going to turn around and look for somebody to put in the game. And you're going to be sitting right there and he's going to call your name and send you in. And so I did. I moved down closer to the coach. And sure enough, one game, he turns around in frustration and says, Whitlock, can you get some rebounds? I said, yes, I can. He said, get in there. And for the rest of my high school time, I had a wonderful time playing. I know it's hard to believe, but that skinny kid shooting the ball right there. Beneath his body still beats the heart of an athlete. All right, here we go. Wow. Did the ball go in? Yes. Who asked that? I want to close today by asking you to do the same thing that my dad said. Just because you're waiting in life right now doesn't mean you're not on God's team. So if you're on the bench waiting for something in your life right now, here's what you need to do. You need to stay close to the Lord. Get as close to the Lord as you can get. You stay in His Word. You stay in His presence in prayer. You stay connected to the church family. You stay involved in your Sunday school group or small group. You stay faithful in serving. You stay close as you can get to the Lord, so that when the time comes for Him to call your name, you'll hear Him call. And listen to me, listen. He will call your name. He will. At just the right time, at just the right moment, maybe not on your timetable, but on His. You'll get through this. You'll get through this. God promises to bring good out of any situation. You'll get through it. And so will we as a church family, okay? God is at work behind the scenes right now while we're in this time of relocation. He is weaving things together right now for our good. So let's not worry. Let's not despair. Let's just keep praying. And let's live in expectation of the blessings that God's going to bring our way. By God's grace, with God's grace, with God's help, and according to God's timetable, we're going to get through this. So let's live and wait in excitement of what God's going to do in this place for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for preserving the story about Joseph. Because we can be so impatient when we have to wait. Today, dear Lord, we just want You to know that we are ready as a church to do whatever You would tell us to do. Whenever it is, wherever it is that You send us, when You send us into the game, we'll be ready. But until then, while we wait, we're going to trust in You. Help us to look forward to the blessings that You're preparing for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All Your ways are good, all Your ways are sure. I will trust in You alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in You alone, in You alone.
Today I want to challenge you to put the same trust in your Heavenly Father that the farmer puts in the seed. He will help you through this. And the first step in trusting Him is to put your trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, to accept His death as payment for all your sin. So if you want to trust God with your eternity, and who better to trust your eternity to, then just come to the Garden Room now. Or if you'd like to be a part of a church family that is currently and actively putting our trust in God, then come to the Garden Room also. Do that now as we stand and sing about putting our trust in God alone.